We are grateful for your presence among us today. We've got a few announcements this morning. The biggest one is that next Saturday, we are having VBS Day here at Holly Grove. We are really excited. We're going to have a brief meeting after worship for all of you who are helping with the VBS. So please stick around. We're just going to check in and make sure all the details are covered. If you know anyone that would...
go ahead.
That's so exciting. If you know of anyone who would like to join us who hasn't already registered, we've got a website where they can register. You can reach out to Tina and she'll give you all of the details. We've also got some handouts back by the front doors that you can take with the web address to register. One of the big draws, I wanted the theme to be about water so that I could talk to the children about baptism. And I wanted a big inflatable water slide. And I think that's the big draw. And Tina has created a day with lots of different Bible stories about water and songs and activities. So it's going to be a great day. Please check your mailbox. We've got some mail in there for you. Also coming up, just want to have this on your radar, August 15th is the last Sunday before school starts. So some of you may not want to hear this. Cover your ears. But that's the last Sunday before school starts, and we want to bless backpacks for the upcoming school year. So that Sunday, bring your backpacks. If you want to bring some supplies to help us donate to the local school, Davis Townsend, bring that as well, and we want to bless it all and send you all off on a great start for the new year. We've got a couple of birthdays this week. Brody Fritz and Sharon Everhart. And two anniversaries, Neil and Terry Clark, and Alex and Jordan Chapman. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A couple of final announcements. Yesterday, I did the funeral for Dale Ettinger. Dale grew up here at Holly Grove along with his three siblings, Leslie, Marie, and Evelyn. And so we did a funeral service for them yesterday and got to hear a lot of stories about their memories of growing up here at Holly Grove, being baptized and confirmed here. And so we offer our prayers for comfort and peace to the Ettinger family. And I also just want to lift up that the altar flowers are given today in memory of Lauren Cecil. Her heavenly birthday was on Friday, and her light and legacy still continue to uplift us and encourage us here at Holly Grove. And so we are grateful for her and for the gift of these flowers. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Please stand. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, powerful and compassionate, you shepherd your people, faithfully feeding and protecting us. Heal each of us and make us a whole people, that we may embody the justice and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you may not attend it to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is the 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life,
and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The second reading is from 2 Ephesians. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at one time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Jesus Christ, you who were once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with his commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and he proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you were no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel to Mark, the sixth chapter. Glory to you, Lord. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, Jesus saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got off the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might even touch the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hi. What's your name?
Owen.
Owen? Hi, Owen. I'm Pastor Anna. Do you want to come sit next to me? Hi, what's your name?
I'm Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. I'm Pastor Anna. What's your name?
Everett.
Hi, Everett. How are you? What's your name?
Miller.
Hi, Miller. I'm Pastor Anna. Oh, and here's Cameron. Okay, the gang's all here.
Calvin.
And Calvin, yes. Hi, Calvin. I wanted to talk to you for a minute about the psalm that we just read a few minutes ago. It's a really famous psalm. In fact, I think it might be one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture, that even people who don't really know about the Bible, they know what the 23rd Psalm is. And there's a verse in there that really caught my eye this week, and I thought we could talk about it for a minute. So when we read it aloud, we said this: "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." I wanted to do a little bit of digging, and I actually went to some of those words and wanted to figure out what they mean in the original Hebrew. And listen to this. This is what it could also mean: that God's love chases after us every day of our lives. God's love chases us. What do you think of when you think of chase? Calvin? Sometimes when we're being chased, it can be a bad thing, like somebody is trying to capture us or catch us. Do you ever on the playground at school or in your yards play chase, where you're just trying to catch each other and play tag? And usually when you're playing chase, somebody's running really fast and that person behind him is trying to catch them. Well, if that's what it looks like to play chase, what do you think it might look like if God's love chases after us? Can you imagine what that might look like? Yes, sir. That God's love is always following us everywhere we go. Because it says God's love chases after us every day of our lives. Now, there are some gifts about getting older, and one of those gifts is that we have more experience of witnessing, of seeing God's love chase after us. And so I can think in my brain of so many times when I've realized that God's love has been chasing me. I don't always realize it in the moment, but oftentimes when I look back on a situation, I can see that God's love was chasing after me. And there are times when we don't feel it chasing after us. There are times when we don't really even see it. But the truth is that God loves us so much that there isn't anywhere we can go where we can escape from God's love. You can try to run as fast as you can, and God's love is going to chase after you. You can try to hide somewhere else, but God's love is going to chase after you. You can't hide from God's love. You can't get away from it. God loves you that much. So maybe the next time you're playing chase with your brothers or with your friends or cousins, you can remember that God's love is always chasing after you. Always, always, always. Let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you that your love chases us. And there's nowhere we can go that your love doesn't follow us there. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up, everybody. You can go back to your pews. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday was an exciting day for me. It was my 6th month anniversary here at Holly Grove. I started on January 11th, and last Sunday on July 11th, I celebrated 6 months of life together with you. I still can't quite wrap my head around the fact that it's already been 6 months. Time seems to go by so quickly sometimes, and we've certainly had a lot going on in our life together. On the one hand, it feels like I've been here a lot longer and know all of you fairly well. But on the other hand, I haven't been here that long at all, and we're still getting to know each other and learn things about each other. There's probably a lot that you feel like you already know about me. One, you know that I have a puppy who I'm crazy about named George. And by the way, he comes to the office with me on Tuesday mornings. So if you ever need to get some pet snuggles in, George would love to meet you and love on you. You've probably learned that I say I have a lot of favorite things in Scripture. I often say, this book of the Bible is one of my favorites, or this book of the Bible is one of my favorites, or this is one of my favorite verses, or this is one of my favorite stories in Scripture. I have a lot of favorites in the Bible. You've probably learned that my favorite color to wear is black. And no, this wasn't a deciding factor when I decided to become a pastor, but it is a work perk for me that I get to wear my favorite color every day. But one of the things you may not know about me yet is that I love naps. I love a good nap. Now, I don't get to take a nap very often, but as many Sunday afternoons as I can, I try to get in a Sunday afternoon nap. I don't think there's a better afternoon to take a nap than Sundays. There are a lot of reasons why Sundays are my favorite day of the week. One, I love Sunday mornings. It's when we all come together. I get to see all of you, and we get to pray together and worship together and share in God's holy meal together. But I love Sunday afternoons, too, because as soon as I get home and eat my lunch, I put on my comfy clothes, I grab my coziest blanket, and I hunker down on the couch for a good Sunday afternoon nap. We don't talk about rest all that much. And it's maybe because we don't do it that much. I think we've sort of been conditioned in our culture to be busy, 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 and not necessarily talk about rest or do it that much. How many of us can relate to the verse that I just read a few minutes ago that said they had no leisure to even eat? How many of us don't take time to sit down for breakfast or lunch, or we just grab a granola bar on our way out the door, or drive through a fast food restaurant to get our lunch and eat it while we're driving? I think God has a word for us today in these first few verses of today's gospel lesson, a word about a healthy biblical rhythm of work and rest. Listen to these verses again. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. This passage concludes Mark's story about sending the 12 out on a mission. Jesus had given them his own authority to go out and do the work that he himself was already doing, to teach, to cast out demons, and to heal the sick and injured. From what we can tell, it was a very effective mission. The disciples returned and were so eager to tell Jesus about all that they had done and taught. And while they were giving their reports, Jesus instructed them, "Come away with me and rest a while." While the disciples were focused, so focused on the work that they were doing for God, Jesus invited them to come away and to be with God. Jesus invited them to rest and to spend time in his presence. In the Wednesday evening Bible study, one of the topics that has come up in our last couple of lessons is the gift that God gives God's people in the Sabbath. Yes, I said gift, because the Sabbath is meant to be a gift that allows us to slow down and to take time for friendship with God, with others, and with nature. But some of us, we only know one speed, full speed ahead, and we get so busy that we just can't stop. But Jesus calls us and invites us to come away with him, away from the busyness, away from the noise of the world, away from our to-do lists and our phones, and to be with him. Our good shepherd wants to lead us beside still waters. Now, I hope you know that I'm preaching to myself every bit, if not more, than I am preaching this to you. Rest and a healthy rhythm of work and rest is one of my biggest struggles. You see, I know all of this in my head. I desire a healthy rhythm of working and resting, but knowing it and doing it are two very different things. There's always so much to be done all the time, and there are so many good things to say yes to. And before I know it, I can very easily fall into the trap of equating doing for God with being with God. But doing work and being with God in the intimacy of friendship are not the same thing. I think a lot of us get so busy that we forget to spend time with God, and it affects our relationship with God. Sometimes, or a lot of the time, we take advantage of the fact that God is always with us and that God will always be there for us. But our relationship with God is in many ways like every other relationship. If we want it to be healthy, if we want it to be strong, if we want it to be intimate, we have to invest ourselves in it. We cannot expect to be close to God and not spend time with God. The truth is that God is always with us, and God is always revealing God's self to us. But we are the ones who are often too busy to take notice and to pay attention. And yet God deeply, deeply desires for us to spend time with God, to spend time with God in scripture and in prayer, both listening and talking, because prayer is often too one-sided, where we do all the talking and we don't often listen to what our other conversation partner is saying. But God invites us to spend time in God's presence, resting and being with God. I think that there are many reasons why we don't take time to rest with God and spend time in God's presence, and I'm going to list just a few. One, it can be hard for many of us to rest because staying busy is how we avoid or disconnect from the overwhelming and painful feelings that we have inside of us. Two, many of us find it hard to rest because we were taught that love and belonging had to be earned through achieving and accomplishing and working hard. Three, many of us find it hard to rest because we were taught that we had to earn our rest by finishing the job. But the job is life. And because we don't finish it, then we don't allow ourselves to rest. And four, too many of us equate doing for God with being for God, and they're not the same thing. Author Anne Lamott says this: almost anything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including yourself. God gives us the gift of unplugging from work, from busyness, from striving. God gives us the gift of Sabbath, a gift of time to enjoy friendship with God and with others and with nature. We don't have to earn our rest. It is a gift from God. God invites us to slow down and to rest in God's presence, to enter a deeper relationship with God. The disciples in the lesson were so focused on the work they were doing for God, and Jesus invited them to come away and to be with God. Jesus invited them to rest and to spend time in his presence. His invitation is for all of us as well. Hear Jesus say to you, "Come away with me and rest a while." Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us come before the triune God in prayer. Tend your church, O God. Encourage bishops, pastors, and deacons in their proclamation of the gospel. Raise up new leaders and encourage those pursuing a call to ministry. Embolden all the baptized to embody your love and justice. Lord, in your mercy, restore your creation, O God. Sustain croplands and pastures and safeguard all farm animals and livestock. Preserve lakes, rivers, and streams that offer refreshment. Revive lands recovering from natural disasters and protect coastlands threatened by rising oceans. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Reconcile the nations, O God. Break down the dividing walls that make us strangers to one another and unite us as one human family. Equip leaders to deal wisely with the conflict and guide diplomats who seek peaceful solutions. Lord, in your mercy, heal your people, O God. Look with compassion on immigrants, exiles, and all who are afraid or feel lost. Give rest to those who are weary, comfort to those who are grieving, and recovery to those who are ill, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Harold and Myra, Michael, Steve, Herbert, Bobby and Jana, Gary and Judy, Bill, Scott, the Heitman family, Jimmy, Hunter, and our friends and families listed in the bulletin, as well as those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, nourish this congregation, O God. Prepare a table where we will receive food for our hungering spirits. Renew our commitment to provide for one another and sustain our ministries of feeding and nurturing hungry neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, you lead us home, O God. We give thanks for all who have died, now citizens with the saints. As you have received them into your heavenly home, so welcome all of us to dwell in your house forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of Christ's peace with those around you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what we have sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty, and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us with this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us recite our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, serve the Lord.